possible to go ahead and watch the video now, the missions video. I want you to watch this video, and I defy you to not be moved by the first few seconds of this video.
Because you came, I heard the gospel, and God saved me and my family, and through us many others.
I was blown away when this brother from Central Asia stood at the SBC meeting in June after I gave our report to just say thank you for how IMB missionaries have reached his people. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. And his story has resonated with so many people, been shared, talked about in churches, on the internet, because his story and so many others like it, this is what the IMB is all about. We partner with Southern Baptist churches to empower limitless missionary teams who are making disciples, multiplying churches among unreached people and unreached places for the glory of God. You think about Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, Cooperative Program. Together, Southern Baptist churches have given over $250 million this last year to fund mission efforts around the world. And as a result of that giving, over 87,000 people have professed faith in Christ for the first time. Over 4,500 churches have started in places where churches have not been before as a result of our partnership together. Southern Baptists are generous. We regularly hear stories of their commitment individually and as churches to give sacrificially. I think about Madeline Ray, who wrote me a letter this year wanting to use her wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation to fund work among unreached people. In this letter, she said, "I just want to be a part of getting the gospel to those who have never heard it." She said, "I determined that making a donation to the IMB for unreached people would be an eternally effective way to use my wish." Now her single wish will echo into eternity as unreached people hear the gospel for the first time as a result of her generosity. Because of that sort of generous giving, IMB is once again on firm financial ground. This year we are poised to begin sending more and more missionaries in the coming days, and I'm convinced our churches are ready to do that. Already this year, we sent out 193 new missionaries, with still more to come. I think about one such missionary, Abuk. She fled from her home country of South Sudan with her family when she was young. They landed in Amarillo, Texas. God and his sovereignty connected them with First Baptist Church there, and that church is now sending her out on mission in partnership with the IMB. It is an awesome scene when the mission field becomes a mission force. That is what is happening through our cooperative work together among unreached peoples and places around the world. Thank you for the opportunity to partner together with you in this eternally important work. Thank you for praying, for giving, for sending people with the gospel to those who've never heard the gospel. Let's keep doing this work together so that God's fame will be made known among people who've never heard the name of Jesus.
Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Philippians 1. Anyone want to say, bold enough to say, "I was not moved by that"? I don't want to hear it. I take that back. Don't say it. If you weren't moved, just keep your mouth shut. That is what it's all about. That man from somewhere in the middle of the Asian continent who was able to find his way to America and to be part of the Southern Baptists' annual meeting and stood up at a microphone. That's what we do at these big meetings. He came to a microphone and just said, "Thanks. Thanks for coming." I defy you to not be stirred deeply by that. That's why we're here. That's what we're about. I hope it's what we're about. Philippians chapter 1. Our focus today is going to be really verses 3 to 6, but I want to read to you just the first 11 verses of this awesome letter from Paul. Paul says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is our God's word to us today. I could, as I look out at this room, I could attach a list, probably a rather long list, to virtually every face in this room of things for which I am thankful when it comes to each of you. There are so many ways and things about each of you that I'm thankful for. And even if I've not known you for very long, and if we've never met, I'm sure that without much time of interaction and talking and visiting, I would learn things about you for which I am thankful. It's great to be appreciated, isn't it? Feels good to hear a thank you, to be appreciated by others, to receive another person's gratitude. It's like someone once said, though, don't always look for gratitude, for sometimes when you are most deserving, you will get the least. Isn't that true? Don't always look for gratitude, because there are going to be times when you're really deserving of gratitude and you're not going to get it. And that someone who said that was a woman named Ida Scudder. Anyone ever heard of Ida Scudder? Okay, I hadn't either. And the fact that I'd never heard that name, the fact that you've never heard that name, and that I'd never heard that name till just a few days ago when I was looking at one of my books of Christian quotations under the topic of gratitude, I came across this quote from Ida Scudder. She was someone who certainly deserved a lot of gratitude and appreciation. She was a missionary doctor back in the early 1900s who devoted her life to battling bubonic plague and other diseases, particularly among women in India. She was someone who certainly deserved a lot of praise, but she, you know what? She was wise enough to know not to count on it, not to expect words of thanks and gratitude for every act of kindness. And we ought to be like that as well. You see, the world may occasionally thank us for our hospitality as Christians. The world may occasionally say thanks for your generosity. The world may occasionally thank us for our compassion and care in times of suffering. But it's foolish for us to expect the world to thank us for the gospel. That's silly. It's silly to think that the world would be grateful to us for the gospel, for that which lies at the core of our kindness, for that which should lie at the very core of our identity as Christians. That's why Paul's words here are so important to the Philippians. He's thanking God for other Christians. He's a Christian thanking God for other Christians and telling them about it. That's what he's doing. And that, of course, is his indirect way of thanking them. His gratitude for their care and for their concern for him is based on the gospel that he and they held in common, that united them. Paul knew the value of receiving ministry, but he also knew the power of gratitude in revving up churches for mission. He knew that there was power in expressing gratitude to rev up churches to be more on fire for the mission of the gospel. And this three-part little mini-series on thankfulness here in the run-up to Thanksgiving has dealt me three really important reminders, three things that I really needed to be reminded of. First of all, 2 weeks ago, I was reminded that, you know what, there is no circumstance in which it is inappropriate for Christians to be thankful. None. Flat tire? Thank you. Thanks, God. I don't understand why I'm saying this, but thanks. I want to be thankful. There's nothing. There's no time in which we should not be thankful. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, he says. Now, I needed that because there are some circumstances which I don't feel like and I don't want to be thankful. No amens on that out there today. Yeah. You see, but yet failing to thank God in those circumstances is the same thing as not trusting him to be big enough and powerful enough to actually bring me good through those circumstances. Christian thankfulness is to be total thankfulness. All the time, constant thankfulness. Now, a second reminder that came to me in this series was last week in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector praying in the temple. I was reminded that there is such a thing as proud thankfulness, haughty, arrogant thankfulness, a thankfulness that mentions God and sounds pious and religious, but that's actually self-directed. A false thankfulness that instead of crediting God, simply comments to God, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thank you that I'm not like those adulterers and swindlers and this tax collector over here. Thank you. You see, we've got to guard our hearts against a self-righteous attitude that uses God talk to puff ourselves up and put others down. Christian thankfulness is not only to be total, it is to be humble thankfulness. And thirdly, this week's text reminds me that for Christians, gratitude is more than an attitude. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Gratitude is more than an attitude. All right? Yes, we ought to have an attitude of gratitude, but if gratitude doesn't move beyond just a mental attitude into action, it's not real. It's not the real thing. Gratitude must translate into action. You see, for Christians, gratitude is more than a frame of mind. For Christians, thankfulness is our frame of mission. It frames everything that we're to be about in this world. To be aggressive gospel people, man, we've got to be aggressively grateful people. And so, not only is Christian thankfulness to be total, not only is Christian thankfulness to be humble, Christian thankfulness is to be missional. That's why I'm calling this sermon Missional Thankfulness. Now, I'll unpack that title and I'll support it from the passage of Scripture in a moment. But first, let me explain the kids' corner today. All right, kiddos, do you have one of these? If you don't, go get one. Logan, grab a handful of those and make sure everybody's got one. Landon, you got one? All right, so open it up to the back flap here, kids' corner. You got a puzzle today, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I've given you Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. I've given it to you in the New Living Translation. Let's read it together, everybody. You want to read it? Ready? Go. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Okay? So our big idea comes from that passage of Scripture this morning. The first underlined word, you see them there? It's kind of faint. I apologize for that. There are several underlined words. I want you to look at that first underlined word, think, T-H-I-N-K. I want you to pick a letter out of that word. Look at the little big idea puzzle down here at the bottom. I want you to pick the letter that you think best fits in that first blank. Then I want you to go to the second underlined word, thanks, T-H-A-N-K-S. Pick a letter. Put it in that second blank. I want you to do that with every underlined word, picking one letter and putting it in one of the blanks, moving in order. And then at the end of the service, we're going to see how many of you got it. We're going to see how many of you have got the big idea puzzle for the day. All right? So let's get back to the title, Missional Thankfulness. Why am I calling this Missional Thankfulness? Let me ask you something. When you get thanked for something, not when you get spanked for something, when you get thanked for something. John misheard me a minute ago when I was praying. I prayed, Lord, we have a responsibility to send. He thought I said we have a responsibility to sin. No, sometimes you might mishear me. It's thanked, okay? When you get thanked by someone for something, does it stop you up or does it stir you up? Does it make you want to stop doing the thing for which that person is thanking you? Or does it stir you up to want to do it even more? Does it stir you up to want to do it even better than before? Hopefully, you don't want to keep doing that thing just to get thanked again. But you want to do it because you realize, man, I'm making an impact. I'm helping someone. I'm benefiting someone else. That, you see, is the power of expressed gratitude. That's the power of hearing a word of gratitude. That's what's at work in Paul's letter to the Philippians. He wants to stir them up. He doesn't want to stop them up. He wants to stir them up. You see, but before we consider how thankfulness enhances our gospel mission, which we're going to get to, I want to take a closer look at Paul's gratitude. Let's take a closer look at how he's expressing his gratitude. He starts in verse 3. I thank my God. I thank my God. Now, first of all, where is Paul aiming his thanks? He's directing it to God. He's aiming it at God. God is his primary recipient of his gratitude. And God is to be the primary recipient of all Christian gratitude. Other people are important. Don't get me wrong. Other people may be instruments of God's blessing to us. But God alone is the ultimate source of those blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All blessings flow from him. All creatures here below. You see, God is the creator. The rest of us are just creatures here below. And we could substitute the word thanks for praise in the doxology there, couldn't we? Because they're so closely related. Thank God from whom all blessings flow. Very, very close correlation there. It's true. God is the source of every blessing. And listen, Paul is not snubbing the Philippians here by thanking God instead of thanking them. He's not. In fact, he's honoring them even more by saying it this way. See, it's not as high an honor to simply say to someone, thank you, than it is to say to that person, I thank God for you. Especially if we're Christians. You know why? It's because if God isn't part of our equation of gratitude, then our gratitude's misplaced. Because he's the source of every blessing. That person might be an instrument of God's blessing, but he is the initiator of that blessing. If our gratitude is directed to people and to people only, it's misplaced. People, you see, surprise, surprise, even Christians are sinners. And while God's common grace enables every person to show some level of kindness to others, that kindness is almost always tainted by just a little bit of sin, a little bit of selfishness, a little bit of self-interest. It's nice when others say, "Thank you." But guess what? It's better for Christians to hear, "I thank God for you," instead. It really is. Now, here's how you can practice this. All right? Next time I preach a sermon that you're thankful for, don't come up to me after the service and say, "Darren, thank you for that sermon." Here's what you say instead. "Darren, I thank God for that sermon he used you to deliver." A few more words, takes a couple extra seconds, but it's so important. It's valuable. It's right to do it that way. Why? Because God is the ultimate source of the sermon. It's just my mouth moving. Yeah, it's my mind that it's all kind of coming down through and to you, but it's God who is the source of this word. And so what you're doing when you say, "I thank God for that sermon that he gave you, Darren," is it's giving you a chance to properly credit God, to put the glory where it's really due, and that's to God. And it's doing me a favor by giving me a small, subtle safeguard against vanity and pride. We need that, don't we? We need that. You see, whether it's I or another person who's benefiting you in some way, expressing gratitude this way helps you give the credit and glory to God. And it helps that other person be on guard against vanity and pride by reminding that person that they are just an instrument. Just an instrument in God's hands, not the initiator of blessing. A great Bible example of this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, you'll probably be familiar with that if you want. It's just a few pages back towards the beginning of the Bible. Just a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is asking for a love offering. He's collecting money from the churches of the Mediterranean basin that he had planted to be collected and sent to the starving first church, the church of Jerusalem. Those people were desperate. They were starving. He's taking up this love offering. And he has just bragged to the Corinthians about the generosity of the Philippians, the people who's addressing in our text today. He's bragged to them about their generosity. Let me read this for you. Verses 10 to 15 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to Paul. "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed." Isn't that awesome? "For sowing, and he will increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that's upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift." How many times did Paul talk about thanks being to God in that passage? Three times, I count. Three times. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. You're going to be blessed in every way to be a blessing in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Not to you, Corinthians, to God. And then, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Again, not to you, but to God. And lastly, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Not for your gift, His gift through you. Missional thankfulness is God-directed. It is God-aimed thankfulness. All right? It acknowledges others, as Paul is doing here, as instruments, but it acknowledges God as the initiator of all blessings. Sincere Christians, by the way, sincere Christians will not feel slighted when others thank God for them instead of thanking them directly. A real, genuine, true Christian is not going to be offended by that. No. You see, instead, they're going to be both humbled and honored to have been used as an instrument in the hands of God of blessing to another. Humbled and honored. Paul goes on. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. This is the language of a ceaselessly praying person. This is the language of an always joyful person. This is the language of an in all circumstances thankful person. Oh yeah, maybe it's because it's the same guy who wrote those words to the Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing from prison. From prison. Yet look how joyful, look how prayerful, look how thankful he is. In all my remembrance of you. Let's talk about that for a minute. When you think of brothers and sisters in Christ in this room and others elsewhere, do you thank God for them? When at any moment of your week, whether day or night, God brings a fellow Christian to mind, do you instinctively and consciously and intentionally thank Him for that person? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that what's often true of me is probably often true for you too, that when God brings other Christians to mind, thankfulness is often not my first impulse. No, it's not the first thought many times. Often, my first thought is concern over some situation that I know that brother or sister is dealing with and a little bit of anxiety over, oh, I hope they're okay. I hope God sees them through that. My first thought in that situation is not thankfulness. Sometimes my first thought is irritation over some failure or shortcoming. At times, my first thought is happiness over some recent victory or success. At other times, it's frustration over some way in which I know I have personally let that person down. You see, to my shame, to our shame, much of the time, we can't say with Paul, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. And to our shame, we don't always make our prayers to God for other believers with joy. Maybe it's because we're more focused on others as instruments than we are on God as the initiator of blessing, of every blessing we receive through others, whether great or small. Maybe that's part of why thankfulness isn't our first impulse. Here's the truth. Every time we fail to thank God for our fellow Christians and to tell them how thankful to God we are for them, regardless of how large or small their contribution, we miss the mission. We miss an opportunity to bolster and boost and build gospel partnership with that person. Yet, here we are, Here we are. God has not wiped us out for all of these failures. We are here today. We are listening to His word to us through the Apostle Paul, through me. You think perhaps God is showing us some grace? Think perhaps God is calling us yet again to repent of our thanklessness, our failures, and to yet again get busy adding fuel and fire to our shared global gospel mission? I think so. I think so. Tell you what, do something with me. As you're looking at Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4, I want you to just read over or bypass all of the descriptive features of the second part of verse 3 and all of verse 4 of Paul and this dramatic, the extent of his expression of gratitude for these Christians. Just look over that. What do we have left? What do we have left? I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel. All that other stuff there at the end of verse 3 and all of verse 4, that's just description. Basis is found in, I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel. Thankfulness for others in the body of Christ must never be severed, must never be detached from our shared mission, our shared gospel mission. And a shared mission leads us to hope in an assured completion. In verse 6, Paul says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Paul's not naive, okay? He knows that these Philippian Christians they're not perfect. Even though they've partnered with him in the gospel, even though they've encouraged him, supported him, he knows that even though they've been there and supported him for many years, they're still sinners, okay? God's work of sanctifying these believers isn't complete yet, but it will be. He's sure of it. He wants them to know how sure of it he is. That's why he says in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Partnership in the gospel flows out of a shared partaking of grace. Paul may have been in prison for the gospel, while his Philippian brothers and sisters were not. Paul may have traveled further, shared the gospel, preached the gospel in more cities, planted more churches, received more beatings for his proclamation of the gospel than these Philippian Christians ever had or ever would. But you know what? The same grace that had saved him was the same grace that saved them. When will we stop looking at one another in comparison and start seeing one another as companions in the gospel? When will we stop thanking one another for this or withholding thanks from others because of this or that? And instead, when will we start giving thanks to God, to whom it is primarily due, for the gift of gospel partners, great and small? When will we do that? Man, the day can't come soon enough. There may be some Christian sister who has never benefited your Christian walk in any tangible way. There may be some Christian brother among us here today who's never given a dime to missions. Well, guess what? The onus is on you, mature Christian. It's on you. It's on me. You may be God's instrument, the Holy Spirit's human mouthpiece for stirring that brother or sister up. Your prayer of sincere gratitude to God for that person's participation in the grace of the cross, and your word, maybe just something as simple as a note or just a hug and a handshake of fellowship, saying, "Brother, I am so thankful to God for you. Sister, I am so thankful to God for your salvation." That might be what God uses to stir that brother, to stoke that sister up to greater gospel partnership. That may be what he uses to rekindle the fire of gospel partnership in that cool heart. All right, kids, here we go. We're at that time now. I want to see hands first. How many of you raise your hand will say, "I got the puzzle"? Brandon? All right. Anybody else? Landon, Brandon, Timmy, Sean, you got it? All right, you want to say it out loud together? Does one person want to volunteer to say it? Come on. There's one word in there that I was concerned you might not get. You get it, Landon?
I said I'm not done.
Are you not done? Okay. Who's got it? Who wants to say it? Or are we just going to say it together? Brandon, you ready? Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Thanks ignites our mission. That word "our" was a freebie, by the way. You didn't have to fill in any blanks on that one. Thanks ignites our mission. Heart of gratitude ignites and stirs up gospel intensity. We all want Philippians, don't we? We all want Philippians in our lives. We want Macedonians whose gospel partnership is tangible and strong. But the reality is we're going to have Corinthians in our lives as well. We are. We're going to have those who need to be lovingly spurred up, stirred up to love and good works. We're going to have those who need to be reminded of their participation in the grace of the cross of Christ and that their partnership in His gospel mission is vital and needed, and that it's not going to result in kudos to them, but that it will result in glorious thanks to God for His inexpressible gift to the nations through them. Do you have a Philippian in your life? Or Philippians, man, let them know just how thankful to God you are for them. And watch the fire of gospel partnership grow hotter and hotter. Do you have a Corinthian? Do you have someone who needs a word of encouragement? Do you have someone who needs to hear how grateful to God you are for them? Man, thank God for that brother or sister in Christ, and then let them know how thankful to God you are for them. And then watch, as Lord willing, and believe me, He's willing, watch as that cool, flickering coal bursts into flame again, a flame that will help drive the church forward in mission until all of God's chosen ones from all the nations of the earth are brought into the kingdom and Jesus returns to claim His bride. Just watch. Participate by being grateful to God for others and watch what He does in their hearts as they hear about it from us. And we owe it to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We owe it to be grateful to God for them, to let them know about it. This sermon, and sermons like it, are in large part for the church. We come every Sunday, we gather each Sunday, we need to hear words like this because we need to be stirred up to be ever more vigorously engaged in sharing the gospel with our neighbors and with the nations. We need that. But I would be remiss if I didn't take an opportunity each and every Sunday to just remind us of the fact that there may be some here among us who are not yet a torch for Jesus Christ, who are not yet even a smoldering, cool little coal for Jesus, but are wet, soggy, dead wood who have not even yet been ignited, brought to life by the gospel. And my urge to you this morning, my invitation to you is to receive Christ. God loves you. God cannot stand your sin, okay? And so he's created a solution. He's got a fix for that. From eternity past, his plan has always been to send his son here to die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could be brought into a right relationship with him. He is redeeming. He wants to redeem his image in you. You know he created you in his image? That's what he's redeeming when he sent Jesus to die for you. We've soiled it. We've sullied it through all of our sin and rebellion. But God is gracious, and he extends the offer of forgiveness. And that offer is being made to you right now. Receive it. Receive it by faith. Don't try to earn it. There's nothing you can do. Quit trying to fix your life and embrace the gospel. Embrace Jesus and what he offers you by faith. Let's stand together and pray. God, as we close this service today, we take our offering in just a moment. I pray that our giving of our resources would reflect the attitude of our hearts that is one of giving thanks. That we give because we are thankful people. As we go into Thanksgiving week, Lord, I pray you are making us into more and more thankful people. And not just thankful for all the trinkets and good goodies that come into our lives, but thankful for the people through whom you bless us in big and small ways. Lord, make us thankful for one another. Lord, I pray your gospel would redeem and rescue, that your spirit would call someone to salvation this morning. I pray that if there's someone here who has received Christ but has not been baptized, that today would be the day they let me know, hey, I want to be baptized. I want to follow through. I want to let everybody know that I trust Jesus. Whatever the decision is that needs to be made, whatever the step is of faith that needs to be taken, Lord, may your spirit prompt. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing.